Welcome everybody to the Boys in Blue Recap, episode 8, absolutely buzzing off of this NLDS series. We are recording right after the Dodgers have beat the San Francisco Giants to advance to the NLCS, where we will face the Atlanta Braves. Brent, how are you feeling right now?
Oh man, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great that the boys were able to come out with the series victory and move on and knock out the Giants. But man, was this a stressful Game 5. But
oh, God.
This is what baseball and this is what postseason is all about.
It's a sick game, and I'm happy that the Dodgers came out on top. And we will, in this episode, we're going to recap every single game of this NLDS. All 5 games goes down to the wire. In case you were unaware, the NLDS, the National League Division Series, is a best-of-5 series. After this, it becomes best-of-7 series. So the Dodgers took it all the way to Game 5. Brent, let's kind of just get started right away. Game 1, first 2 games away in San Francisco, as San Francisco has the home field advantage because they were the number 1 seed out of the NL, as well as, of course, more correctly, Brent, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but because they're the champions of the NL West, unfortunately. That's why they get the home field advantage against the Dodgers. So game 1, Buehler against Webb. First of all, I think before we really get into the game, unfortunately Dodgers lose 1-0-4. Webb did pitch a very good game, Brent. I think he did a good game. Even Buehler didn't pitch a bad game, but Webb looked real solid. Even though the Dodgers, I think, were swinging at some things that are not usual for them, Webb looked really good, going 7 2/3 innings, allowing only 5 hits, no runs, no walks, and 10 strikeouts in his first postseason game. This is all I really want to talk about Webb, because I don't really care about him at all. Dodgers win, who cares? Ha ha ha. But Webb looked really good, Brent, and it's kind of scary.
He looked phenomenal this game. And, you know, you were exactly right, Kevin, in saying that He did have a magnificent game, but I think it wasn't helping that these Dodger hitters up and down the lineup were really swinging away at his sliders and his changeups, and he really had those going in the bottom of the zone, but also kind of below the zone at their feet, and they were just swinging at those all night. And you know, I mean, he was continuing to throw it if they're continuing to swing at it. But hey, for his first career postseason outing, the dude is 24 years old.
Yeah,
to come up, I mean, Giants, Dodgers, the rivalry, the history, I mean, the hype around this series. I think this was definitely the most hyped series out of all of the first rounds, and, you know, he really came through for them.
I mean, this felt all the way through, and I think a lot of people can attest to this. This felt like almost a World Series, you know, caliber game. And a World Series caliber series, excuse me. Like, these are two of the best teams in baseball going at it in the first round of the playoffs. You know, no other teams are getting close to these two teams, and that's why every single game was so stressful. Again, quickly touching on Buehler, he didn't have a bad game, Brent. His stat line was not terrible. He goes 6 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. That's not the dominant Buehler in by any means that we are accustomed to seeing, but that's not a terrible outing. I think what we really need to look forward to, Brent, is the unfortunate hitting that the Dodgers are doing, like you just said, swinging at really bad things. And overall, again, I don't think it was Buehler's fault for this game.
It definitely wasn't. You know, he gives up a few earned runs, but ultimately it doesn't matter if you give up 1 earned run or if you give up 8 earned runs if your team doesn't score a single run. And so, you know, the Dodgers got blanked, and, you know, it doesn't make a difference how well Buehler was going to do if, you know, they're not going to supply any offense for him. And so, you know, you can't really chalk it up to Buehler on this one. It really comes down to the offense just not producing.
Yeah. I mean, we left runners on in the 6th and the 7th, both with 1 out at the time, and we just couldn't drive him in. So let's move forward. Dodgers lose the game 0-4. That's game 1. Let's go to game 2. Brent, this was a different game. This was disgusting. It was a 9-2 win. Again, this is still away at Oracle in San Francisco. Dodgers win. Urias comes up against Kevin Gausman. Urias dominant. It's what we expect. I kind of wish he went 6 innings, Brent, to be honest. But overall, a good stat line. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikes. Overall, I mean, Brent, I don't know what else to talk about Urias, but he had a great outing and the offense was hitting.
The offense was hitting, and as a matter of fact, he's the one that got the offense started with that RBI single. And, you know, it's kind of funny that he ends up being, you know, he's been having such a great offensive season as a pitcher, and he ends up getting the first RBI and the first run scored for the Dodgers for this entire series. You know, we were just talking about how the Dodgers failed to score in that first game. And so he really was doing it all just like he's been doing the entire season for us. And yeah, I do agree that I think he could have gone maybe another inning or so. You know, we'll kind of see with this game, and then, you know, when we talk about game five,
yeah,
that I think Roberts was taking definitely a more conservative approach with starters, and especially with Urias. But, you know, I mean, we can say now in hindsight that it worked out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was Urias' 10th RBI. And how this kind of set up, so in the second inning, the Giants intentionally walk AJ Pollock to get Urias up. That's a problem.
That's Urias,
they've made a mistake.
Do they know who Urias is?
I don't think they did the proper scouting report, because if I was them, I would have pitched AJ Pollock. Again, they, like you said, Urias drives the run in, CT3, and AJ actually end up having multi-hit games, driving in runs, RBIs. Cody Bellinger able to bring in some runs. You know, Mookie Betts gets an RBI in the second. This is what we need to see. It's Dodgers getting runs in early in the inning, and then, oh, Brent, that's sixth inning. It was just a hitting clinic at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, you know, this is the potential of this offensive lineup. Day in and day out, they can put up these kinds of numbers. And so to see them put up a zero yesterday is just, I mean, again, Webb pitched a hell of a game, but to just not have a single run, and then, you know, you see this, and this is like what they can do. They, yeah, they have no problem. They have no problem being able to do something like this. And so, you know, it was much more comforting to see this kind of performance.
Yeah, it's almost embarrassing, and it makes you really think as a Dodger fan, like, what is going on? Right? Like, it is a problem to be this hot and cold, especially in this series against the Giants, who, again, hats off to them, 107 win team, Brent. Mm-hmm. They're no one to make fun of. I'm going to make fun of them as a Dodger fan, but if let's step back as just baseball people. Mm-hmm. They were the best team in baseball. That's, yeah, like, just, yeah, what it is. And to go from a no hit, like a no run game, to a 9-run game is a little worrisome going into the next series. But let's transition again to game three now, where again, the offense does not get going. I'm a curse. I went to this game, Brent. I will take the blame.
Curse.
It's my fault that they lost. It's a Scherzer against Wood, you know, Alex Wood, former Dodger pitcher coming back to Chavez Ravine. Dodgers lose 1-0.
Man.
So let's break this down a little bit. So first off, the game was super windy. There's not a lot to talk about this game, by the way, just in general, because it was a boring game, to say the least, to be honest. It was not a lot of hitting from both teams. Really strong. I guess if you like a pitcher's duel, that's great. But I know the majority of people want to see the hits, want to see the runs. And the Dodgers are expected to score those runs. Super windy that day. And Scherzer has a solid outing, I would say.
He does. Seven innings. Gives up three hits. Only that one earned run from that Longoria solo home run.
Yeah.
One walk, 10 strikeouts. I mean, you know, you look at the stat line, yeah, 10 and strikeouts. You think for sure that Scherzer's going to get a win.
Yeah.
At the very least. And the offense, again, just fell really short. It was extremely uncharacteristic of not only the Dodgers' offense, but of the L.A. weather, like you had, yeah, mentioned, Kevin, about all that wind. I mean, you could see the flags out in center field kind of blowing to the right very, very hard for pretty much the entire game. And you can see that there was multiple hits from both sides, both the Giants and the Dodgers, that, you know, those probably would have been home runs, easy home runs, and they got knocked down and ended up being, you know, warning track outs, or, you know, just short of the warning track.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this game could have looked a lot different if we had very typical Los Angeles weather. You know, that's, you know, that kind of weather would be something you'd probably expect up in the Bay.
Yeah.
If we were playing in San Francisco at Oracle Park. But, you know, but at the end of the day, the weather, I mean, the weather's the weather, right?
Yeah, you can't really do anything about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lux, I think in the ninth, I don't know, or he's up to bat, two outs. He hits something that is normally a home run. He puts his hand up. He points to the dugout. He's running around first, and it just gets caught in the air.
Yeah.
And it gets taken out completely. And again, you're totally right, though. The weather's the weather. You need to play around that. You're a professional baseball team. Like, there's going to be time where it's sprinkling, where it's windy, where it's sunny. Whatever it may be, you need to be able to play around that. And it's really unfortunate the Dodgers didn't. The only fun stat that I found from this game, really, is that Scherzer is now the third pitcher to have 10 plus strikes in the postseason game. So he has five total games with 10 plus strikes. Only The only two people ahead of him are Kershaw with 6 games and Verlander with 7. That's pretty good company to be in. So overall, again,
I would think so.
Yeah, Scherzer had a good game. Dodgers lose 1-0. Whatever. Let's get to game 4. Brent, kick it off. How did game 4 go? Because it was a lot better.
So I got to go to game 4, and the Dodgers did end up winning 7-2, so I am not a curse, which we had already established earlier in the season, earlier in the show. We'll give it to you. Thank you. So Buehler actually comes in and starts this game on 3 days rest. Impressive. Which was the first time in his career that he has done that. And, you know, I think he did just about, actually, no, not just about, but I think he did better than what we were expecting of him. Going into this game being on such short rest. You know, ends up going 4 1/3, only gives up 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. You know, he really did give it everything he had on short rest. You could see that, especially towards that 5th inning, that he, you know, was definitely that not having that full rest was kind of getting to him a little bit. He gave up those 2 walks, I believe. And thankfully, though, the Dodgers bullpen kind of comes in that inning and comes in for the rest of the game and really holds it down. Supplied by, you know, some really good offense. Dodgers bullpen going that remainder of the game only giving up 4 hits and 1 earned run with 2 strikeouts, and so, you know, doing a fantastic job just being able to support a good outing by a, you know, short rested Buehler.
Yeah, game 4 was good. I think nothing else to really take away from it. It's an overall good hitting game, good pitching game, good bullpen game. Dodgers win it 7-2, so now the series is tied up 2-2. And we go to game 5, which happened today on the 14th of October. We were recording just after this game has happened, and we are buzzing right now. We are excited.
My goodness.
This was game 5. This was do or die for both teams. Went back to San Francisco at Oracle Park. Urias versus Webb, who, again, we've already talked about in this series. Both guys pitched very good games. Webb, you can almost say, pitched a better game. Webb pitched game 1 for the Giants. Urias pitched game 2 for the Dodgers. They're back at it again. But what's very interesting, Brent, what's very, very interesting is it was announced on the 13th that Urias would be the starting pitcher.
Yeah.
On the 14th, the Dodgers announce again that it's not Urias. It's Knebel that's going to get the start, or Knebel, whatever you want to say it. And how do you think that played with the Giants' head? Because there's all these minings going on. We also found out that the Giants actually didn't release their lineup until an hour and a half before the game started, and you only have to release it up to 60 minutes before the first pitch is thrown.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some mind games going on, and I like it.
Yeah. I think, to be fair, I think the big reason that they were talking about, the reason that lineup had been locked in so late, was because Tommy La Stella has been dealing with an injury, and so they were kind of back and forth seeing what his status was, if he was going to be able to start the game for the Giants or not, and he did end up starting the game. But it actually ties into kind of this whole mind game thing and this whole, you know, setting your lineup to be advantageous versus starting pitchers, and, you know, the lefty on, you know, the matchups and stuff like that, with Knebel being a right-handed thrower and Urias being a left-handed thrower. You know, if Urias was going to start the game, then the Giants and Kapler is going to set up his lineup in a way that he's going to have a lot of right-handed bats, and then the other, you know, but the fact that Knebel is going to start the game, it's going to be a little bit different. And, you know, he's going to, you know, being a right-handed, they don't have to necessarily do that. And so it kind of shakes things up a little bit, and it makes the opposing manager have to make some decisions, not only about who's starting, but then, you know, how, you know, who you're going to sub in, at what time are you going to sub them in? Because as we know, in baseball, when you make substitutions and when a player is substituted out of the game, they're no longer in the game. They cannot participate in any way the game, which is a little more unique compared to, you know, we think of sports like basketball and football, who they have frequent substitutions, you know, going on all throughout the game, in and out, and that's just a normal part of the game. But baseball, once you're subbed out, you're out for the game. And so it's a lot more strategic, and, you know, there's a lot more weight on those kinds of decisions.
Right. Well, I still think it was much more mind games, because they were talking about how Darren Ruff was put in actually towards the end as well, and it was actually something to look forward to facing Urias. So they were well aware that Darren Ruff being in the lineup against Knebel was not a good matchup for him. We saw he went 0-2 against Knebel. I think he had one against Knebel, one against Gratterall, and then he comes up against Urias. And spoiler alert, the only run that the Giants score is a homer off from Ruff off of Urias. Again, Dodgers won the game 2-1. I want to keep iterating that because the Dodgers are super good. Giants go home. They suck. but let's go a little deeper into the game. Urias pitches a good game overall. Goes 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts. But again, Brent, it's very – Webb is worrisome, and it is going to be a worrisome next couple years with him in the league, especially in the NL West.
This kid is something special, let me tell you. I mean, he goes 7 innings again, only gives up 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts. You know, he didn't look as dominant this game as he did in game 1. I think the Dodgers had a much better plan coming into this game. I think they had kind of realized that, you know, we are swinging at way too many pitches out of the zone. We're chasing. And I saw the improvements this game. I definitely did, which I was really happy to see. They were laying off on a lot more of those pitches, and Webb ended up, you know, it ran his pitch count up a little bit more than in the first game, but you know, he still was able to make it work, and he still pitched a really solid game. Again, only giving up 1 earned run, you're setting your team up for success.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched well. The Dodgers had much better at-bats. They weren't swinging at these stupid way outside, not even over the plate balls, which was fantastic. Talking about some of the highlights of the game, Mookie was the star of the show.
He was the whole offense.
He was 4-for-4 in the 6th inning. Mookie singles, steals the base, and then which allows Seager to come up, hit a beautiful ball to left field, which scores Mookie, which, again, if he didn't steal that base, he's fast, but he's not scoring from first off that ball.
No.
So that Mookie single into stolen base allows Seager to get the RBI, and that's what kind of starts the team rolling into the amazing 9th inning, Brent. That, I mean, The Dodgers are able to get a huge RBI from Bellinger in the 9th. Again, Dodgers are now up 2-1 in the 9th, going into the bottom. Scherzer comes up. There may be some controversy that I think we need to cover. And let's first talk about the entire game overall, Brent. The umping was bad.
It was bad. Home plate umpire, I think it was Doug Eddings. I think it was Eddings tonight.
Really bad.
And he, you know, being a Dodger fan, I'm going to always root and support the Dodgers, but I got to call it when I see it, because I am, at the end of the day, a baseball fan, and there was a lot of calls that the Dodgers were getting, Dodger pitchers were getting, as strikes that were a little bit out of the zone. I mean, they were kind of close, but a little bit out of the zone, but the Giants weren't really getting those kinds of calls on their end, so it was a little lopsided to that effect, and I think that they're... We'll see what the umpire scorecard is, you know, when it comes out tomorrow, which is really nice that those are available to us now. But, you know, it really did seem like, as I was watching the game, that the Dodgers were getting a lot of breaks from Eddings tonight. And I think that Giants fans and even other baseball fans have a right to kind of be like, okay, this is kind of bad. But here's the thing, though, Kevin, is like, we just shouldn't even have the potential to have these kinds of issues, because we should be having some of the better umpires in the union be the ones that are umpiring the postseason games, right? I mean, these are the most important games of the whole year. So why are you putting a crew, you know, this crew with Angel Hernandez, Doug Eddings? I mean, why are these guys in here? I just don't understand.
Yeah, it was bad. In case you guys didn't see, throughout the game, again, the Dodgers were getting a lot of called strikes that were clearly off the plate. Also, to be fair to everyone, we only know that because they now show a strike box on TBS to show us where the balls and strikes should be. And there was a lot off the plate that the Dodgers were getting. Also, the very last batter for the Giants, it was 0-2 count. He gets up there. He does a check swing. So, Brent, can you explain to the people what like a check swing is and how the call went against the Giants here and how truly bad the call was?
Sure. So basically, you know, as a batter, you're allowed to, it's called checking your swing. And so let's set the stage a little bit here. You have Scherzer in the 9th inning. You have Wilmer Flores for the Giants. There's 2 outs. There's a runner on first, right? So, I mean, you know, the Giants have, there's an opportunity here. And Scherzer is able to quickly get Flores to 0-2. So he's 2 strikes, 1 strike away from the game being over. So Scherzer, you know, he's already in a really good position. Flores isn't necessarily a great hitter to begin with. Didn't look very comfortable up there against Scherzer.
No, he's batting so, like 91, like .091 for the, he's not, exactly. He's terrible.
Exactly. So On that last pitch, he did what is called a check swing. And so if you think about the batter standing at home plate, and you think about and you look down, you see home plate, and there's the very front of home plate, which is a straight line. And so essentially you're allowed to check your swing on a pitch if it's not a strike and your bat doesn't cross over the line of home plate, that front line of home plate, then it's not considered a strike. You have checked your swing successfully, and that should be considered a ball. Right. Now, if your bat crosses over that line, that invisible kind of straight line that exists, then that's considered a strike, even though the pitch may have been outside of the strike zone. And so what often happens is that the home plate umpire doesn't have a great view all the time with those calls, and so they will kind of designate the call to either the first base umpire or the third base umpire, depending on, if the batter is a right-handed batter or a left-handed batter. So Wilmer Flores being a right-handed batter, the first base umpire on the opposite side has the best vantage point for that, and so right. They're able to make that call. Looking at the replay, Kevin, I mean, straight up, that was a check swing. He did not go over. It was not a swing. So it being a check swing means that he did not swing, and it should not have been a strike.
Yep.
But it was a strike, and that means that that was strike three. And not only was that strike three, but that is the last out, and the Dodgers are able to win the series. So, yep. It's cool in the sense that the Dodgers were able to pull it off. Because let me tell you, Kevin, I was freaking out. Yeah. My heart was racing that whole inning. I was keeled over. Seriously, I was so stressed out because you never know what's going to happen. The Giants have just been an amazing team coming back in all these late games the whole season. And they had Lamont Wade Jr. coming up, big late night Lamont. And, he nearly hits that home run. He hooked it foul. And so I was just stressing out, and as much as relieving as it is to see the Dodgers, clinch it, it really does suck, and it's a shame that such a great series, a close series, and probably one of the better series for this postseason, kind of ended on a little bit of like a tainted note with a missed call, a badly missed call, for that matter.
Yeah, the only thing I'm gonna say is there's this thing called the baseball gods. On July 22nd of this year. In the top of the ninth inning at home at Dodger Stadium, Dodgers are winning 3-2. Bases are loaded. Kenley Jansen is up to pitch for everybody. Darren Ruff is up to bat. It's a 3-2 count. Allegedly, Ruff doesn't go. He clearly goes, and the Dodgers end up walking in a run there. It goes 3-3. Dodgers lose that game, which, again, could have made the Dodgers win the NL West off of this game alone. The baseball gods are now looking upon the Dodgers, and they remember the July 22nd missed call, and they give it to us here on October 14th. Dodgers win, doesn't matter. Win's a win. That's the call. It's not reviewable. Dodgers win the series. Let's talk about the Braves series. NLCS, best of seven. The Braves have the home field advantage. Game one will be played on 10-16 in Atlanta. I want to talk really quickly about players to watch. Jock Peterson, former Dodger, is having an amazing postseason, Brent. He is just going off.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's batting .429, this looks like a typo. A 1.715 OPS. I mean, wow. Excuse me? .715, and I know for you viewers, we've talked about it a couple times again. On-base percentage plus slugging. A 1 OPS is already absolutely magnificent, and this guy almost has double that in the playoffs so far. So, he had, I believe, 3 home runs in the last series against the Brewers. And so, Jocktober is here. Jocktober always comes. There's one thing that is true, Jocktober.
Yeah, the average OPS in 2021 was .728. His OPS is 1.715. Insane. Another person that I think the Dodgers have to watch out for is Austin Riley. He's playing very well. .333 average with a 908 OPS. Diving into the previous games that the Braves had against the Brewers. They're coming in after beating the Brewers. They won 3-1, 2 shutout wins, and a 5-4 win to cap it off. They're kind of riding this momentum, I would say, Brent, to be honest. They had a really solid series against the Brewers. They kind of crushed them. Max Fried and Ian Anderson are having a really good postseason. Those are the starting pitchers for the Braves that we have to watch out for, combining for 0 ERA, 15 strikeouts, and 6 hits alone. I'm a little worried about them, Brent. if we cannot get things moving like we couldn't against Webb, we're gonna have a problem.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what I think is also scary is that this is a team that, you know, they were projected to not even make the playoffs after getting that early, unfortunate early Ronald Acuna Jr. injury.
Right.
You know, they weren't expected to even make the postseason. You know, they were not having a great season in the first half, and they kind of made this late surge in the second half. And so they're a team that, you know, they have nothing to lose. They have already exceeded the expectations. You know, the Brewers had a really good season, and a lot of people were expecting the Brewers to kind of roll over them. And that was not the case, as we can clearly see. And so, you know, a team that has nothing to lose, I don't know if there's a scarier thing. And, you know, they're looking really good right now. I think they've been rolling, like you had mentioned, Kevin. And so, you know, also having home field advantage, I think, you know, it seems like it's a little bit in their favor. The Dodgers are really going to need to, I think, be a little more consistent. They cannot afford to have, you know, they got shut out twice in this last series. They cannot afford to be shut out. That is just, you know, that's unacceptable for a lineup that's as good as theirs. And on top of that, I think that we also need better contributions, especially from both Turners, because they were, yep, they were just, let's just say,
they were, I mean, terrible.
They were missing from this whole series, yep, against the Giants. And so we really do need those bats. You know, Trey Turner won the batting title. He has the offensive capability. Justin Turner is one of the best postseason players for the Dodgers ever. And so, you know, it's unusual to see him struggling like he is, but we know that he has the potential to be so much better.
Yeah, both Turners are 0-for with runners in scoring position during the entire postseason this year, and that's a problem. Real quick, before we wrap this up, the Dodgers and Braves have met 6 times. Dodgers won 4 of the 6, so technically, I guess we can say we have the advantage. There's no advantage in the postseason, in my opinion. It's win or lose. These games are intense.
Clean slate.
And last thing I do want to touch off is we have met the Braves 3 times in the last 4 years. In 2018, Dodgers winning the NLDS, and then of course last year, Brent, or 2020, when the Braves blew a 3-1 lead, and the Dodgers win the NLCS, go to win the World Series that year. Brent, I don't have much more to say. I'm really excited to talk to see this Braves series through. I don't want to talk too much about it. I almost feel like this could be a jinx. I'm very superstitious now about this kind of stuff, but are you excited? What else do the Dodgers really need to do? Anything else that you need to see from these boys to really produce against the Braves?
Well, first off, I'll say, Kevin, that you wouldn't be a baseball fan if you weren't a little superstitious.
You're right.
Because come on, I mean, we're all a bit superstitious when it comes to these things. I am so excited for this Braves series. I'm really glad, honestly, that the Dodgers were able to pull through and beat the Giants. You know, I really want to see how this team fares in a best of seven series. I think it'll be really good. And you know, again, in addition to, I think, more consistency in the offense and continued consistency with the bullpen. I think the bullpen has been phenomenal through the postseason so far. So you know, just really keeping that up, because you know, this Giants series, we did exhaust a lot of our, you know, we have very limited starting pitching as it is with Kershaw being out, and you know, obviously not having Bauer, and so we're and not having May as well. So you know, they already kind of have to work around that, and the fact that we've kind of had to exhaust people on already short rests, and so it'll be interesting to see the bullpen, how they're able to kind of pick them up on that. But you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I think this will be a good series, and you know, I'm always excited to watch postseason baseball, especially when our Dodgers are in it.
Yeah, again, everybody, Game 1 this Saturday, Dodgers versus Braves. Please watch it. Give the Dodgers your energy. They're going to be looking towards it, and try to get tickets to the home games. It's postseason baseball at Dodger Stadium is insane. It's electric.
So much
it
fun.
It really is. It's so much fun. You get a rally towel, if that's not, you know, enough for you guys.
Love the rally towels.
Swing that rally towel on. But again, super excited for the Dodgers to beat the Giants. This is huge for the Dodgers. Excited for what's up ahead. And overall, thank you all for listening to the Boys in Blue Recap every single week of the year, of this season. We are so happy to be able to provide this for you guys, and we're excited to talk about the Braves series after it's done. But if that's all that is there to be said, I'm going to close it out. Go Dodgers. Let's beat the Braves. Let's bring home another title.
Thanks, guys, for watching. Go Dodgers.